You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Gonzaga fell at the final hurdle. After 31 games without defeat, the Bulldogs lose the national championship game to Baylor, and in rather convincing fashion, an 86-70 victory to the Bears gives Baylor their first ever men's basketball national title. In the NFL, the New York Jets gave the game away with their plans for the second overall pick. Yesterday, they traded quarterback Sam Darnold to Carolina for three draft picks, a sixth rounder this year, and a second and a fourth in 2022. Major League Soccer announced yesterday that they will allow clubs to use two additional substitutions for players suspected of having concussions. And finally, some heartbreaking news to report. Jim Nantz no longer gives out ties after the national championship. He told the Field of 68 podcast it was a victim of, quote, social media, disbelievers, and snarkyism.
Oh,
it's too bad.
Oh, God, get over yourself.
You want Nantz to get over himself?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you know a single other thing about Gonzaga? Other than the thing that you know.
The Zags.
Gonzaga.
Can't win the big one. That's what I know.
Do you have on you five Jeopardy categories, Stugatz, before we get to Ron McGill of Zoo Miami? Do you have five Jeopardy questions from a single category?
I think it's philosophy, my favorite, and I have six questions, it looks like. Six of them.
So how do you want to do this, as you say that you'd be very good at this?
Trebek would be more sure of himself on what the category was.
It's philosophy, and I have six questions.
All right, well, do you want to host us? Do you want to go ahead and welcome us into the show? And is there somebody who's going to, let's say Amin is the contestant that you're going to greet to be chummy with, and then you're going to go to philosophy questions? You're going to give us 5 minutes of Stugatz's Jeopardy host.
I am going to have Amin, Billy, if you don't mind, as a contestant, and Roy. Are you good?
Yeah, go ahead and just welcome us in, and then begin the show. Do you need any cues in terms of music? There we go. Okay.
Welcome in to another episode of Jeopardy. It is an honor. It is a thrill to be filling in for the great Alex Trebek. We have three fantastic contestants today. We really do. I'm excited about all three of them. We have Amin El-Hassan, NBA front office insider with Meadowlark Media. We have Billy Gill. And we have Roy Bellamy. So we have three.
The Duke.
The number six NFL expert, according to The Guardian. And then, of course, we have Roy Bellamy, whose jersey will be retired at the BB&T Center because he is the biggest Florida Panther fan in the history of that organization. Let's get to know our contestants just a little bit. Amin El-Hassan, please tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Well, Alex, usually you ask me about something in my life, and I say, well, yeah, I've been collecting pogs for about 3 years now, and I find them very, very comforting.
Okay, well, thank you, and you're right. I should have asked you that.
There was a pre-meeting on the research that they give you on the contestants. Guts didn't go to it.
Billy Gill down, he's from Miami. Billy, tell us what it feels like to have so much NFL knowledge.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Stu Gotts, for asking me that question. You know, it's both a blessing and a curse. Sometimes to know too much, you wish ignorance is bliss, as they say, Alec. You know what I mean? Alex Stu Gotts. Stu Gotts, what's your name?
Stu Gotts.
Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, it's great to know things, but sometimes I wish I knew a little bit less.
Hey, he dropped the dookie. How about that? Let's move over to our last contestant today, Roy Bellamy. Again, his jersey is going to be retired.
What's his wife's name?
At the BB&T Center. Oh, beautiful Christ. Wife, Carolyn. And I ask the questions around here, not you. So, Roy, tell us how you'll
Don't
feel.
Don't you ask the answers instead of the questions?
I have no idea. Roy, how are you going to feel? No tell idea. Us about how you're going to feel. Have you thought about the feelings you'll have once you see your jersey lifted to the rafters at the BB&T Center?
Yeah, it's going to be a complete honor to have my name and number lifted up to the rafters of the BB&T Center. And I can tell you all the hard work that I put into being a fan of the Florida Panthers will definitely pay off on that night, especially considering that it's been a long, hard it's just been a long, hard road being a Panthers fan all these years.
All right, now that you've gotten to know all three of our contestants, let's load the board. All right, here's your category. You guys ready? It is philosophy. Okay. When this philosopher died around 347 BC, his nephew, Cepheus, took over the academy. I mean, he dropped the dookie. Anyone? Anyone? I mean.
No, the correct answer is.
The correct answer is, I mean.
Who is Plato?
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
I'm not certain if that's right or not.
You not have the answers?
No, I don't have the answers. He did not give me the answers. I don't have the answers. It is Plato, $200. Congratulations.
Who is Plato?
I don't know. It's a clay I used to play with when I was a kid. And I ask the questions around here. Perhaps you guys are getting, forget the rules of the game. I mean, you're the contestants. I'm the host. I ask the questions. You answer them. How about that? The humanity formulation of Kant's categorical... Oh, boy. The humanity formulation of Kant's categorical imperative says people are never a means, always this. Billy.
What is the end?
That is right, Billy. Good job out of you. Would you like to select your next category? We only have philosophy.
Ooh, sports for 400.
Okay. Who was the starting pitcher for the Red Sox game 7 of the 86 World Series?
That's not how you ask the question.
Oh. How do you ask it?
This guy was the starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox in the 1986.
This guy was the starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox game 7, 86 World Series. Oh, it's a daily double. How about that, Bill? Lucky. You want sports? You get a daily double in your wheelhouse.
What do you got? Who is the Rocket?
Yeah, Roger Clemens, the Rocket. Well done by you. Next question, Bill. Christopher Mad Dog Rousseau wrote, form of government has never existed and never will exist. I mean. Your daily double. There's never been three in a round before. How about that? Billy.
What is this bit went on too long?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Ron McGill of Zoo Miami with us now. He joins us every week. He has joined us for many years, probably over a decade at this point. You have made his endowment substantive and large, and he is grateful for it. I am not happy with New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Hawaii, or Wyoming.
They have all given.
No, very little. Every state has given. Wyoming, Hawaii, Dan, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire should be ashamed of themselves.
Dan, my goodness. I am so thankful to all of you. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. I'm just over the moon. I cannot believe how generous people are and how nice they are. I mean, this is something that is taking time for me to absorb.
Okay, that's all well and fine, but Hawaii has embarrassed itself.
Holy Jesus.
Wyoming has embarrassed itself.
Man.
Rhode Island is cheap, and New Hampshire is borderline.
Rhode Island is the size of Broward County.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, but they can have a larger sort of appetite for helping the animals, no matter
how small. For the size of their state, they're doing very well.
I don't think very well is, I'm pretty sure it was single figures from Rhode Island. It wasn't even triple figures from Rhode Island. Man, it's not very well. Come on, you're going to tell me Rhode Island doesn't have $100, Ron?
Rhode Island's actually a very wealthy state,
Ron. You're going to tell me Rhode Island doesn't have $100?
Dan, it's a small state. And in respect to the population that they have, I think they have done very well. I'm flattered that we got anything from Rhode Island. This has been every state in the country, Dan.
Roy,
these people are doing great things for conservation.
Roy, what is your question for Ron McGill?
Ron, Joe and Joe Biden have adopted a golden retriever. I'm sorry, a German Shepherd by the name of Major. He's having a tough time adjusting to the his home in the White House. What exactly is going on there, and how can he fix it?
Well, it's hard to know exactly what's going on there. I know recently, I think he bit a Secret Service guy or something like that. I don't know. I'm not necessarily in that situation, but, bring in Caesar Millan in there. He'd be a good one for that kind of situation. Bring him out into the house. I think you need to see the situation. Anytime dogs are brought into a new environment, there's a lot of new people that they have to become, acclimated to, especially German Shepherds, which instinctively are very protective of their owners. So, although the Secret Service is there to protect the president, German Shepherd is there first.
What do you think of Caesar Millan's tactics? He's been bitten a few times, correct?
Been bitten a few times, but, he's a gentle guy. I think I've met him on several occasions, and he's a really genuinely nice person. And listen, the bottom line is he was the founder of trying to teach people how to gently work with dogs and getting to understand how a dog thinks. He was really the first one to do that. And in my opinion, I think he opened a lot of doors and has done a lot of positive things for dogs.
Greg, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Hey, Ron. Recently off the southwestern coast of Australia, apparently a group of 70 orca killer whales got together, hunted down, and killed a blue whale. And I wonder how unusual in the wild is that kind of a thing?
Not unusual at all. Killer whales are, of course, carnivores. They generally feed on seals, sea lions, and smaller marine mammals like that. But they are a pack animal, and when they get in a large pod like that, they have been known to take on several whales. I've seen them, heard of them documented killing sperm whales, right whales. Blue whale is the largest. They're doing it again, aren't they? I turned off the other one, but I have an apple here, and I can't turn off the sound for the emails. Yeah, Ryan Cortez, Dan Levitard. Oh, listen, guys, this is old. Don't you guys get tired of this? This is old. Okay, because I turned off my other one. I found out how to do it on the PC because a listener called in and showed me how to do it. So the PC doesn't make the noise now. Now you just hear that little ding of my stupid Apple because I don't know how to do it on the Apple. So listener, please call me. All right, next.
Have you ever seen whales actually kill another whale? Because you're often telling us that you've seen these things and they're pretty horrifying to watch. Have you ever seen a whale kill?
Oh, my God. No, I've not seen a whale kill another whale. I've seen killer whales kill sea lions, kill seals, kill penguins, but I've not seen them kill another whale.
It's horrifying to watch even that, right? The way they kill a seal, they'll just throw it up in the air, right?
Yeah, they basically take it like a crocodilian. They hold it and they flick their head so that the whole body breaks apart so they get chunks. And, you know, they have all the seagulls flying in, trying to get all the intestines and stuff that are flying all over the place. They're trying to pick up the scraps. And meanwhile, the killer whale is just picking up all the things that rip apart. I mean, they violently shake their head back and forth and just rip the thing apart.
Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, stray cats in my neighborhood. I sometimes see them in the backyard. Like, I've seen them laying on my back furniture. I have a little three-year-old that I want to, like, be able to let run around. Like, how would you handle something like that?
You know, this is a big issue, guys. And I know I'm going to have the cat lovers hate me. Please let me preface this by saying I love cats. I think they're incredible animals. Having said that, guys, if you have a pet cat, you need to keep it in your house or somewhere contained on your property. Cats, guys, cats are the number one invasive species in the world today. They kill more native wildlife than any other animal on the planet. Okay? So please, you know, cats also pass on something called toxoplasmosis, which is a disease that pregnant women can become seriously ill by. We can't have kangaroos here at the zoo, for instance, because toxo kills kangaroos. The last mob of kangaroos we had here died from toxo because of these stray cats that we cannot keep out of the zoo no matter what. So these animals pass disease. If I hear another one of those dings, I swear I'm going to throw the thing through the computer. Yeah, Dan Le Batard. Dan Le Batard. I'm talking about something serious, and Dan Le Batard is dinging my screen. God bless America. Anyway, so here's the bottom line, guys. We need to keep these cats contained. We now have a predator that has migrated down here to South Florida that's going to help us do that. It's the coyote. Coyotes are the number one cat killers on the planet. So if you've got a pet cat that you really love, don't let it roam free, because there are coyotes now in South Florida, and they're going to take out your cat.
Ron, my neighborhood has a woodpecker problem. They're adorable. I actually love watching them peck at my house. I do. It's actually fascinating to watch. But how do I get rid of them?
Really, Stugatz?
Yeah.
You don't get rid of woodpeckers. You know why? They are incredibly beneficial animals. They take care of dying trees and stuff. They get all the little insects and little vermin that kind of kill trees. They eat them. They're wonderful animals. They make a great little sound. You hear them flap, and they fly. You know, they do that like five quick wing bursts and then glide. Five quick wing bursts and then glide. They're cool animals. You don't want to get rid of animals like that, Stugatz. These are native animals that have a purpose. So please learn to adjust, learn to adapt, learn to coexist, Stugatz.
Ron, I said they were cool. Here's the problem. They are pecking away at these columns on my house, and they created a hole in one of the columns. And so I enjoy the woodpecker. I love watching the woodpecker work. I just don't want them working on my house.
Well, Stugatz, you should feel privileged that they have chosen your home to share with their home. This is something that, you know, what I would do is I would put a little GoPro out there and do some videos, put them online, start getting a bunch of watches and a bunch of likes, and start, you know, monetizing that. And people will love it. Like, do a woodpecker cam. You'll see. It'll explode. It'll go viral.
Roy, I saw that you have a question, but Billy, you made a skeptical face there, and I think I'm with you on this. I don't think I'd feel privileged if a woodpecker was pecking.
What an honor. You're destroying my house.
Right. It's going to fall down.
Billy, you just told Ron McGill to get out of here. I don't feel like many people would feel privileged to have a woodpecker pecking at their house. It would seem to be annoying, Ron.
You know, it's just one of those things we need to learn to coexist with. They play a big role. You should be able to compromise a little bit, take a little bit of annoyance at this time of year, and then, you know, benefit from the fact that we live in a place that had such a wide variety of great wildlife. I mean, take some photographs, do some things, learn about the bird's lifestyle, learn about what it's doing. You'll be surprised. You'll learn to fall in love with these animals. If you just listen, there's an old saying that says the earth plays beautiful music if you just take the time to listen.
Yeah, but how would the woodpecker feel if I went and just started knocking on their door nonstop at all hours of the day?
Not so cute anymore, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I have to coexist. What about this woodpecker coexist with me, you know?
Well, what you can do is you can seal up whatever hole he's trying to make, okay? And I can tell you he'll go somewhere else. That better not be you guys. No, it's not you guys. I'm not gonna, I can't answer that.
Is it important? I mean, do you need to answer it? Or?
Yeah, see if it's important.
No, I'm not answering.
Is it the mayor?
What's the last name?
Yeah, you never know.
It's not the mayor. But
O'Neill, maybe? Last name?
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, you mentioned the coyote is now in Florida. Is it? Would you call it a invasive species? And is it a population that we need
not
to
at all.
Keep check
it's,
on?
It's a species that naturally migrated to South Florida. So it is a natural species. What we call a migrant, which is naturally occurring. It's not something introduced by people. So it is just a natural part of the process.
Listen to me, New Hampshire. Listen to me, Rhode Island.
Dan.
Listen to me, Wyoming.
He's right about Rhode Island. I'm sorry, Ron. He is
and
right.
Listen to me, Hawaii.
Dan, let me. Why don't we talk about that horrific movie Kong? Okay.
Well, you had a very controversial opinion because Kong.
It wasn't controversial. It was realistic.
Well, okay?
That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
The only
smart person in that movie was the little girl who wouldn't speak because the script was so terrible.
Okay.
This was one of those things I cannot. It's 2 hours of my life I will never get back, guys.
Okay.
It says Godzilla versus Kong, and actual Godzilla versus Kong may have been 10 minutes of the movie. The rest was the worst acting I've ever seen in my life. They bring you down. Listen, and I'm not looking for a documentary, okay? I realize that gorillas don't eat fish. They don't swim. I'm not asking for that kind of stuff, okay? I mean, I realize you go down to the center of the earth and you see the sun when they're in the center of the earth. Where the hell is the sun coming from in the center of the earth? Come on, guys. Just have some realistic continuity here. And then the dialogue, dump the monkey. Please, are you serious? Are you serious? Guys, it is so juvenile, but you know what? I understand why you guys like it.
Well, just before getting into why we like it, because it's just big and it's just big and dumb, and $285 million it has made internationally. At one point, Kong spoke during the movie. Kong said home. Oh, have no. you ever heard
Kong should never speak
of a gorilla being able to speak and even a word?
He never said home. He signed home. You didn't hear him say home. He signed home. Okay. And yes, there was a gorilla, of course, Coco, the famous gorilla in San Francisco, signed over 300 words. I can't believe Chris Cody is in on this game. He's emailing me now. Chris, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Don't you start now, Billy.
No respect.
Anyway, the bottom line is Kong never said anything. He was like picking his nose with a finger and he's signing home. That's what it was. Are you serious, guys? Come on. The little girl, she not only didn't speak, but she had tears coming down her eyes because she's saying, oh, my God, what am I doing in this movie?
Why are you? I've never heard you this rabid. You're crazy.
Because you know what? I fell for the hype. I love monster movies. I love good monster movies. I love good action, good CGI, all that stuff. OK, so I fell for the hype. This thing was being hyped for so long. I said, OK, great. Thank God I didn't pay to watch it in a theater. I would have been so upset. The only good thing about watching a movie is sitting next to my wife, having some popcorn, having some good goodies and watching this thing and just looking at each other going, really, are we watching this? It's going to get better. Let's just keep watching. And that's what it does. It sucks you in to think, well, it's got to get better. So let's see what happens. It's going to be a great climactic ending, right? Please, guys, that movie. I mean, really, guys, I can't believe the hype and Rotten Tomatoes. That's why it's called Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, because
that's not why it's called.
You didn't invent it.
You didn't invent it. Mm-hmm.
Was a solid point on the sunlight though. I didn't catch that the first time. I'm beginning to think this movie's a little unrealistic.
Ron,
That thing was a different size in different scenes. Kong is a different size. Sometimes it gets smaller. Sometimes it gets bigger. I mean, what is going on here, guys? This is the kind of project they do in a sixth grade class for your film class.
Ron, are you a good bowler?
Oh, he has to be.
No, I'm not really a good bowler. I mean, I bowled, but I'm not really a good bowler. No. Mm. Why?
Oh, just because we're going to have a bowling competition. It would have been fun to have you out there with Chris Whittingham doing play-by-play. But we will talk to you again next week. Again, a reminder, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Wyoming, Hawaii, you've embarrassed yourself. And I say, on behalf of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, go f*** yourself.
Oh, my God.
Ron, thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. I got to go get new batteries from my mouse so I can turn you guys stuck.
We love you, Ron. We hate Rhode Island.
I don't think you do.
He's stuck. Now I can do him a favor and kick him out, but I kind of want to see where this goes.
I'm leaving the office. Goodbye. I'm leaving.
Keep it right there, Mike.
He'll be back.
Yep.
He'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
They always
didn't really tell me how to handle my
guy. I have no choice in the matter on that one.
You didn't invent it, Billy.
He left his microphone on, which means you can continue to do the email gag.
I just did it. I wanted to end the segment with that joke quietly because his office is empty, but it takes a second for the email to get there when you email him.
Oh. Greg, I will share my thoughts on what the Jets did yesterday with Sam Darnold in a minute, but I am told that you also have thoughts on what the Jets did with Sam Darnold. I happen to love that the Jets did the deal and made the move and actually got three draft picks for a guy that I don't think is very good. But Greg, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, they did pretty well. I mean, including a second round draft pick. I wonder if any Jets fans think they're giving up on Darnold too soon, or was this the year where, you know, the first three guys in the draft and maybe the first four are going to be quarterbacks. So if you wanted a quarterback, this definitely was the year to do it. But, you know, was Darnold that bad? I mean, I'm curious on the perspective of a Jets fan, because for me, I don't know if you give up on him yet, do you? I mean,
no, I think you did 3 years. So this was my feeling going into it. When I heard the news yesterday, he's had 3 years. He's had 38 starts. He has a completion percentage that's under 60%. He has 45 touchdowns. He has 39 interceptions. And he was not Joe Douglas's guy. He was Adam Gase's guy. And Joe Douglas likes to build through the draft. And I have no issue with this, because I have said forever, if you draft a quarterback early in the draft and it doesn't work out, draft another one. So the Jets gave him 38 starts to prove himself. He was not very good. The team wasn't very good. And I know people are going to say they didn't surround him with great talent or a great offensive line. I believe if you're a great quarterback, you'll make any situation work. And Darnold could not make that situation work. So the fact that they got a guy that Joe Douglas can now call his guy, and that's going to be Wilson coming up here in the draft, and it's not Gase's guy. Joe Douglas came in and wanted to purge himself of everything Adam Gase. And so he has done so. And he got rid of Sam Darnold. And I think it's very smart. And I heard Adam Schefter say if it was a fourth round pick, Jets would have said no. Third round pick, Jets would have said no. They got a second round pick for a guy who has a completion percentage of 59.7% and who's had 38 starts and hasn't been very good. So I'm happy the Jets did this.
Mike, have you read anywhere anything interesting on the subject of whether or not Sam Darnold is actually better than Teddy Bridgewater? Because Carolina has these offensive guys who are doing math, trying to do math a little differently. They're trying to be one of these progressive analytic teams in football. And I have difficulty with these measurements. I don't look anywhere in any of the numbers that I'm looking at and see that Sam Darnold is actually better than Teddy Bridgewater. And then when you get to making the argument for Sam Darnold, the argument is, well, he didn't have any help. He didn't have a lot of help in the Jets organization. And it's easy to agree with that, but that's not proof that Sam Darnold can play, that he didn't have a lot of help, because I haven't seen proof that Sam Darnold is good at that job.
Sam Darnold had Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson left and went to Carolina and then became a very good wide receiver. Yeah. Now, he'll have McCaffrey there. I mean, so maybe that helps, having a running game.
The argument is Sam Darnold also had Adam Gase. And how do you quantify how bad Adam Gase is now as an offensive mind? To me, it's a lateral move, but Sam Darnold has a bit of a higher ceiling than Teddy Bridgewater. I think we kind of know what Teddy Bridgewater is at this point. With Sam Darnold, you have the mystery out there. In watching a lot of CNBC, I didn't realize what a massive deal David Tepper is within that whole community. He is viewed as a tastemaker and a genius. And people in CNBC were weighing in. This is Scott Wapner. Tepper does what Tepper does best: recognize an opportunity at risk and risk-free option. And it's exactly the trade he just made. I disagree. It's not necessarily risk-free. He gave Bridgewater a decent-sized contract. There's ambiguity surrounding the fifth-year option, but this is a $23 million bet that he just made on Sam Darnold. That is a lot of money tied into quarterbacks that we're not exactly crazy about. So while some can say, well, he's exploiting an inefficiency, David Tepper, I could look at it and say, well, that's a billionaire being impatient, like all billionaires. So I'm not exactly sure how this works out. They were in on Deshaun Watson. They were trying to raise the capital. They were reworking a bunch of people's contracts for a much larger contract than Sam Darnold's. And then the whole Deshaun Watson thing happened. I think the Carolina Panthers were actually favored to acquire Deshaun Watson. That was a play here. This is a pivot.
Well, let me ask Greg and Stugatz this question, because Greg and Stugatz have very publicly, over the last few years, as sports has gotten smarter and smarter and smarter, they are two of the guys on the mountain with very few others saying, give me less information. I want my analysis on a trade to have less information than the other guy. When I ask Stugatz, Jets fan, Sam Darnold, measurements at quarterback, You're done with Sam Darnold, but you've been living this movie over quarterback after quarterback. For how many years have you been doing this where you don't know how to evaluate a quarterback because your team doesn't know how to evaluate a quarterback?
My entire life. But eventually we're going to get it right. Like, they have to get it right. Eventually they're going to get lucky and stumble into a great quarterback, right? They have to. I mean, they selected one 3 years ago with the third pick in the draft, and now they have the second pick in the draft.
The best argument I'm hearing for Sam Darnold is worth anything is the Jets are incompetent.
Right. Well, they had no offensive line. He was sacked 100 times over 3 years.
But the argument I'm hearing for what proof do you have that Sam Darnold can play professional football at that position? It's Gase stunk. Offensive line stunk. Wide receivers stunk. Everything stunk. That's not proof Sam Darnold can play. That's just proof that everything around Sam Darnold was shit, as it always is with the Jets. I don't have proof that Sam Darnold can play that position. What is your proof?
I have no proof. That's why I'm happy the Jets got rid of him.
But your measurement is only, they make me unhappy?
My measurement is wins and losses. That's my measurement. Always has been, always will be. He doesn't win games. He's not good. I mean, what do you want from it? And so they're going to get a guy in the second round of the pick and hope, and second round of the draft, and hopefully they will finally get it right. Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. And Joe Douglas is very respected. He's a guy that people in the NFL think is very good at this, but he builds through the draft. And he did not select Sam Darnold. That was Gase's selection. Now he gets to select his quarterback, and his job will ride on this.
Didn't Tony Romo say that Sam Darnold, Tony Romo, broadcasting genius, $20 million a year, best analyst in football, didn't Tony Romo say that Sam Darnold was the best of that entire class and was going to be guaranteed a surefire great?
I believe he did say that, and Mina said that as well. But they can be wrong,
but
right?
But is that what Carolina's betting on? Is Carolina betting on the Jets were ruining what was actual value there?
I think Carolina's betting on a couple of things, okay? Robbie Anderson has blossomed into a good wide receiver. They have McCaffrey, so we'll have a running game. They have the eighth pick in the draft coming up. They can get a tight end or another wide receiver. And then I think they're banking on Joe Brady and Matt Rhule. That's it, because they're the quarterback whisperers. Brady was with Burrow at LSU, and so... But I hate the quarterback whisperer stuff, because that's what Adam Gase was supposed to be.
You also have a fairly recent example in Ryan Tannehill of a quarterback totally reshaping themselves once they've separated from Adam Gase. I also have DJ Moore down in Carolina. Just seems like a lot of sunk costs after 1 year. We did it with Teddy Bridgewater. Now you've taken away all your leverage in moving that $10 million guaranteed from Teddy Bridgewater, because everyone knows you want to give Darnold a shot because you need to figure out if you're going to guarantee his fifth year, which would come at a whopping $18 million. It would seem smart. Some people are attributing, well, this guy is thinking 4D. He knows that the salary cap is going to increase, but at the same time, he's taking away his leverage, and he seemed like he's settled because he's impatient.
Is it that, or could I say, without knowing the salary cap permutations, that what Tepper has decided to do here is simply, I'm going to, that position is so important that I'm going to continue to take these big swings at that position.
Until I get it right.
In ways that, until I get it right. I tried with Bridgewater and I decided very quickly. It can be impatient, but my gurus are telling me that ceiling on that is not going to be as high as if I get another value at quarterback. Value being, I need to get that position right no matter what it costs me. Otherwise, my team's not going
to
be any good.
I was trying to fix it all with Deshaun Watson, and this is not a big swing. I think this is a half swing. It's a check swing, but he's seeing if I can improve it by just a small increment, I can get more out of my team. Carolina was a team that was competitive. Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, and they were worse for it. Teddy Bridgewater, some people were picking them as a sexy playoff team, even with Teddy Bridgewater. And if Sam Darnold has a higher ceiling than Teddy Bridgewater, maybe you can get over the hump and figure out if you're going to fully guarantee his fifth year.
Yeah, Sam Darnold is not a big swing. If you're a team like Carolina or Denver or New England, the big swing is Deshaun Watson, or the big swing is trading up into the top four or five to get Zach Wilson or somebody like that. Sam Darnold, you know, in Darnold and Bridgewater right now, you have two second-tier quarterbacks, and you're just praying one of them works out. That was not a big swing by any means.
One of the interesting angles on this was the Carolina Panthers social media team did such a great job with the announcement of Sam Darnold using that mono graphic that Monday Night Football
made famous.
They knew
for a while, right? They had to have known.
Tim Burke created that, and it was fairly easy to track down when that graphic was made by the Carolina Panthers, because no one's really been using this website for quite some time. Who would go use the Sam Darnold mononucleosis GIF maker? And he tracked down that they made this on March 29th, which is very interesting.
You run the risk, Greg, of Darnold having a season that's good enough where you might have to give him a big contract and you're stuck with him in Carolina.
Greg,
that's
what kind of swing are you willing to label right. this? Is it a medium swing? Is it a check swing? Is it a small swing? What kind of swing? You're saying you're having the hot take that it is not a big swing. What kind right. of swing is it?
It's a medium swing. It's a Texas leaguer into shallow right center field for a single. You know, it's Sam Darnold, for crying out loud. He's a Jets reject. You can't cut. If you're a Panthers fan, you cannot be excited this morning.
Second round picks are valuable, Greg.
It's an excuse me swing. It's the swing that Wesley Snipes had at the beginning of Major League.
There you go.
Of course he knew
this,
all that.
This trade honestly just makes me think, why did the Dolphins not get more for Ryan Tannehill? The Dolphins only got a 7th and a 4th round pick for Ryan Tannehill, and Darnold gets you a 2nd?
You guys are all rooting, though, right? Because I think Dan wants this, right? I think the whole show should want this. You want him to flourish in Carolina and want them to be really good and my new quarterback to be really, really bad. That would be perfect for this show, correct?
The reason why there's a difference between the compensation is that Sam Darnold is still on his rookie deal, whereas Ryan Tannehill had already signed an extension, right. and there was more money to go on that contract. So the Dolphins actually were going to get less, but they ate more money to get a better pick, which is only a 4th.
Stugatz, you're pointing out something that isn't actually in play for me on this. I'm not any kind of emotional rooting for the Jets to have to watch the quarterback flourish.
It's my misery, though.
Somewhere else. No, but what I'm curious about and what is endlessly fascinating to me is just how bad we are at being able to measure whether these guys are any good or not. And to me, the part that would be fascinating is if he were great there, because then I would just get more confused about, like, why and how does this stuff happen? Because I thought Gase got these jobs because he was actually good at elevating quarterbacks. Now you guys are telling me, no, he's an epic disaster. And I just get more and more confused anytime one of these trades is made, because I'm like, who's valuing what? And is anyone good at measuring the value? Who's good at measuring the value? Because I just saw the best coach I've ever seen embarrassed because Tampa measured the value better than he was measuring the value at that position. And so I'm just baffled. If Belichick isn't any good at it at the end, and Arians is because he figured out something that should have been obvious to all of us by now, which is Tom Brady is kind of great.
Don't be confused, Dan. No one knows anything. Everyone's just faking it. Everybody's full of it. You just got to sell yourself as the person that knows, and then you buy yourself 3 or 4 years, and then everybody realizes, oh, wait, no, that person didn't actually know, because nobody knows. It's a guessing game. That's all it is. And then once you accept that, sports... it's just fun. You just watch it. No one knows what they're watching. No one's going to figure it out. You get 3 or 4 years to fake knowing what's going on, and then the next person comes along to fake it for 3 or 4 years. That's how it works. That's it.
You were ranked as the 6th best NFL information guy
in
the country.
That's why. Yes. You just dropped the dookie bomb on us.
Dookie bomb. I mean, he dropped the dookie.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.